Praise the Lord. As we were singing, the Spirit of the Lord gave me a scripture. Proverbs 4:18. It's a scripture for you, for this season, perhaps for this week. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Can we read that together? Huh? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Huh? The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto perfect day. You know, there's nothing more true. What that scripture is actually saying is what Paul later referred to in the New Testament when he said, as we behold him with open face, we are changed glory to glory. That's literally the Old Testament version of that scripture. Praise the living God. So that means that the life of a Christian is progressive. You're always moving onwards and upwards, not backwards. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. This is what the scripture says. It says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. That we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, there are secrets in the kingdom of heaven or in the kingdom of God. There are things that are secrets. There are secrets to wealth. There are secrets to healing. There are secrets to not dying. Huh? Is there a word, one word for not dying? Immortal. Huh? Immortality, yeah. Okay? Okay, you can say life, fine. There are secrets in the kingdom of God. And here, in this particular scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:7, Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God. Now, when you study your Bible, especially in the New Testament, wisdom is categorized. There's what they refer to as the wisdom of men, and the Bible says it is foolishness unto God. Then there's what is referred to as the wisdom of God, but the Bible says it's the manifold wisdom of God. It means it has many dimensions to it. Now, there's a manifold wisdom of God. It has many dimensions to it. Within the manifold wisdom of God, there's a dimension of wisdom that Paul is referring to here as hidden. He refers to it as the hidden wisdom of God. That means if you try to educate someone to get it, they can't get it. If you try to use natural means to tap into it, you can't capture it. Now, you see, who wants the secret for money? How to get money? All of you. Some people are not putting up their hands. That's not it. Some people want the secret for health. Who wants the secret for health? Divine health. Who wants a secret? Gentlemen. Okay. Yeah, but you don't even know what I'm going to say. Okay. So, like I said, there are secrets in the spirit. Eh? And Paul here says there's what we refer to as the hidden wisdom. Hidden wisdom means that you can't use natural means to capture it. You can try all you can, but you can't capture it. There are things that are secret. And only men and women who know how to press in, because the things, the hidden wisdom of God. Take me to Job chapter 11, verse 6. Eh? There's a friend of Job who most of the time is not speaking any sense, but he speaks sense in this particular scripture. Verse 6, the first part. Eh? Do you have a message version? Okay, let's read this first. Eh? Start from verse 5. He says, but all that God would speak and open his lips against thee. Eh? There is not speaking sense. Eh? Because God doesn't speak against us. Eh? Huh? Verse 6 is important. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. Then he says that they are double to that which is. Give me the message version. I wish he would show you how wisdom looks from the inside. For true wisdom is mostly inside. Now, there is a hidden wisdom. A wisdom that few people tap into. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, said, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, which actually, incidentally, is the foundation scripture for this ministry. Matthew 13, 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. When there is a wisdom that is hidden, you can try all you can to get it. But it has to be given. You with me so far? Okay. In other words, it has to be revealed. You have to get revelation of it. In the New Testament, there is a play between secrets and mysteries. They're almost the same word. And here Jesus is saying, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's a certain body of truths that are limited to the kingdom of heaven. Huh? That a person like you can know. A certain body of truths that he calls the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Not earth. The reason why they're mysteries. Now, we're going to go into some very deep stuff. Eh? Depending on how receptive you are. You're receptive, eh? The things that are mysteries in the kingdom of heaven, if you capture them, like what Jesus was saying here, you get the life and the way of the heavenlies now, and you bring it on earth. That is why there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in scripture is the stretch of the government of God over anything that is his, that he created. The kingdom of heaven is to capture the way of life in heaven and bring it right now, right here. So when I pick someone out and I begin to prophesy and I say their name, or when I lay hands and someone gets healed, the kingdom of heaven has come. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Not the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They are mysteries not because God is hiding them from us. He's hiding them for us. Now, that's why in the Old Testament, the first scripture I started with, it says, the hidden wisdom of God. Not hidden from us. Hidden for us. A wisdom that principalities, demons, do not know. They cannot capture it because they're limited to the scope of being able to capture it, to come close to it. But you can. Amen. Now, are you with me? Okay. So, there is a hidden wisdom. There are secrets in the kingdom. There are things that God desires you to have. The reason why it is a hidden wisdom is so that when you capture it, you can have an advantage over someone who doesn't. But most children of God do not, unfortunately, seem to tap into that aspect of their life. You see, the Bible says be diligent. To be diligent means you can look for a job, for example. You apply and you're diligent and you're looking for one. That's one way to be diligent. But there are shortcuts in the spirit. I don't have to walk in the streets. Sometimes I don't even have to apply. Amen. True? Some of you have got jobs miraculously. Okay? So, when a person taps into a mystery in the kingdom of heaven, he gains an advantage over his counterpart. That means each and every one of you, as long as you're born again Christian now, there's an advantage that you have. You just need to know how to tap into it. Okay? Kale, you don't know where we're going. But we're going to get there. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, that having been said, let me explain something. In the Bible, there are secrets or mysteries. There's a hidden wisdom that people in history, even in scripture, people in history have tapped into. Secrets, for example, of health. How many doctors are here? I see a doctor already. Okay, now. Congratulations on graduating. Now, listen carefully. From what I know, modern medicine, the founder of modern medicine was a man called Hippocrates. Hippocrates was a Greek, considered to be the father of modern medicine. Okay? You with me? I don't even know if the doctors know that. Eh? Anyway, so Hippocrates was a Greek philosopher, considered to be the father of modern medicine. He used a lot of science to get people well. Okay? Now, you will go and you will study in the US, you study in Europe, you study wherever, and the natural world will tell you Hippocrates was the father of modern medicine. But 2,000 years before him, there was a man called Imhotep. Many of you don't know him. I'm sure you don't know him. He was an Egyptian who's considered to be the real father of medicine. The reason why modern medicine does not consider him is because he used spiritual means to heal. But okay, should I leave this stuff and go? Huh? Imhotep is spelled I-M-H-O-T-E-P. Huh? Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing that up. Because this guy, there's very little known about him in history. They just found that, they found evidence to show that there are things that we need machines to know now. But he knew then. 2,000 years before what they refer to as a modern father of medicine. Now, the reason they discard is because they don't understand the spirituals. Now, Imhotep is interesting because I'll tell you this. One of the ways in which he said a man can be healed is if he got plants and spoke to the plant and asked the plant, what part of the body can you heal? Now, you see, you need to understand, some of you, this looks like it's far-fetched. But according to scripture, the Bible says in Psalms 150, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When God created things on the face of the earth, there was no non-living things. You've studied in science, living and non-living. No, that's not what God created. Everything was alive. That frog that you see doing, broop, broop, it's speaking a language. You just can't hear it. Now, Imhotep said he would get a plant, speak to it and say, which part of the body can you heal? And the plant would respond. You guys need to get... If you don't know that you... Because you see, in scripture, in the New Testament, actually in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, those trees had leaves that could heal. Not that you take like medicine, no. The Bible says in Revelations, it says the tree of life has leaves that have healing within it. Now, I also asked myself a question. If it's in the Garden of Eden and there's no sin, why do the leaves have healing? How do people get sick? I'll leave that to you. So there are secrets of medicine. I pray some doctors here tap into some of those things, eh? And anyone who has a healing, there are secrets of it. There are secrets of wealth. The ability for a man. I told you we are in a season of just like that. Yeah. Today you're walking, tomorrow, just like that. Today you're single, tomorrow, just like that. Today you're short, tomorrow, like that. We're in a season of just like that. Now I need you to understand something, that there are secrets in the spirit, secrets that men stumbled upon, secrets, for example, of wealth, like I've said, there are secrets in the spirit. One day we shall touch it, because you see, there's a way you can call money. There's a way, a higher place in the spirit where a person doesn't need to call. It comes running. Now, I know it's true that someone sent me a video of a lady, I forget her name, a South African. She was being interviewed on a TV show. And she was being interviewed on a TV show and I asked her, you know, how do you get your money? She says, I love money. Money comes to me. Money loves me. You understand? Some of us say, where is money? Where is money? Someone else is saying, money loves me. Money, you see, in a room, it picks me out. That's what she was saying. That's a person speaking spiritual language. And the lady who was interviewing was just laughing. When you don't understand spiritual things, you can think someone is just joking. There are secrets to wealth. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, there are secrets in scripture. Can I go deeper? Let me show you. The Bible says, most people, when they read their Bibles, they don't know that it's God who reveals and opens up scripture to us. And so if you've gone and studied, which is not a bad thing, eh? But if you've gone and studied theology and what, there's a risk if you're not spiritually attuned to take every word just as it is. So let me give you an example. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking through Hosea. And he says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of. This is Hosea speaking. Take me to verse 2. He says, as they called them, so they went from them. They sanctified unto Baalim and burned incense to graven images. If you go throughout the entire chapter, the context of the scripture is about the children of Israel. Okay? So if you went to theology school, that's what it would be. The entire context. But if you go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, take me to Matthew 2:15. And there was there until the death of Herod. They were in Egypt until the death of Herod. They're referring to Jesus as a baby. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now if you look at Hosea 11 verse 1, there's no way you can find Jesus in that scripture. But by the Spirit, Matthew is saying that scripture was actually referring to Christ. So while I can interpret scripture by context, I shouldn't be limited by it. Because most of the New Testament is actually quoted out of context. They quote the Old Testament out of context, but it is Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now I'm telling you that there are secrets in the Bible. Because you see, in this particular scripture, Jesus is Israel. Remember Hosea 11:1? Out of Egypt I called my child, my son. He's referring to Israel. But in the New Testament, Jesus is given the parallel of Israel. So that means, now you need to understand. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Now you need to understand how the Spirit of the Lord hides things in plain sight. Because you see, there are parallels between Israel and Jesus. The Bible says that the Israelites, as a result of Jacob, there was famine, and Jacob and his 12 sons went to Egypt where Joseph was so that they could be preserved from death. Israel, that happened to Israel. But Jesus Christ, when he's a young baby, is taken to Egypt to preserve him from death. There are parallels. The Bible says that after Moses was sent to take them out of Egypt, they passed through the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10 actually says that it was a baptism. Jesus, also taken to the Jordan, is baptized. The Bible says after Israel passed through the Red Sea, they wandered in the desert. For how long? 40 years. Jesus, after being baptized, is taken to a desert. For how long? Are you seeing what I'm saying? That there are secrets hidden in plain sight in the Bible. There are secrets in Scripture. One of the most profound secrets that I think you need to understand is the secret of time. Because you see, and it fascinates me. Because for many of you, time might be running out. But after salvation, one of the most profound things that God ever gave is time. Very profound. Right after salvation. To me, time is one of the most profound gifts he ever gave. And I'm going to explain to you why. Maybe, come. Let me give two people. I'm going to give this example. Because you see, when you lose something, let's say you lost a phone. A man can restore, a boyfriend can restore the phone you've lost. Yes? So God doesn't just deal in restoration of things. He deals in the restoration of years. The Bible says he will restore the years. That means when God, you see, the way he makes himself different for man is that God has the capacity to restore time. So he restores years. The Bible says, let us redeem the time, for the days are evil. God is a perfectionist in redeeming time that is lost. Now, I need one more person. I want to show you something. I borrowed this from someone. Come. Now, I want you to understand, these are two people. Choose one. You're probably one of them. This is the lady, the guy. Along the path of life, they're progressing. As they progress, this one gets a retake. Stays behind. Listen. And this one keeps on progressing. He progresses until there's a gap between them of 10 years. Now, please understand that when this one finally graduates campus, then gets a job and keeps moving, that's not restoration. It is progress. Restoration is when God gets you from here and puts you here and cuts out the time, so that when people look at the people, they don't seem to see a difference between the person who went ahead. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is restoration of time. That's what God does. Now, I know in this room, there are people who feel like time has left them. Have a seat. Thank you. There are people who feel like time has left them. Marriage. Time has left. Okay? People graduated. I graduated behind. The Bible says he restores the years that the locust has stolen. There's a secret in time. Now, I need you to understand that God can summarize everything else. Now, this is the importance of things. You need to understand how it works. Someone came to me and asked me, you're talking about prosperity, but how can you win Bill Gates to Christ? He already has. Then I told him, you see, to the poor, it's the result. To the rich, it's the process. Ah, you guys. If I haven't used Bill Gates' route to success, he will come and listen. And that's why I'm telling you, as Christians, it's about process. If we want to win those guys up there, process. Hey, you're hearing me. Huh? Now, I'm not just talking for, I know exactly what I'm saying and where the Lord is taking us. Now, God, there is a hidden wisdom of things in the spirit. The only way you can capture those things, God hides his wisdom in his spirit. To get contact of that, you have to seek. One of two ways. You either seek the spirit, or you have proximity, spiritual proximity, not physical. I was telling someone that if anointing could be transferred simply by proximity, wives of men of God would be the most anointed. So it's not a proximity thing. Okay. We just see Mrs. this one, just operating in healing, what, jumping around. But not necessarily so. So it's not a proximity thing. It's a spiritual proximity. So you can tap into a hidden wisdom one of two ways. You either seek and press in yourself, or you have spiritual proximity to someone who has captured that wisdom. Those are the two ways. God can come mess you up and put wisdom in your neighbor. Pop! Your neighbor, you're going through a situation. Say you don't like him. But God, he does this a lot, puts the answer in the vessel you don't like. Now, he gets the wisdom and tells her, by the way, why don't you do this? She needs discernment, even if she doesn't like him. She needs to discern, this is God speaking. It becomes wisdom for her, irrespective of how she feels for him, to go ahead and follow the advice. For him, it becomes wisdom when, if she's above him in the spirit, even if he has given instruction, he shouldn't think he's above her. Because God using you as a vessel for an answer does not mean you've raised yourself above the person. I don't know if you're getting it. Hey, I've been speaking jabba-jabba. Eh? Are you getting what I'm saying? So God hides wisdom. He hides things in plain sight. When the enemy attacks, please understand that the enemy does not know the entire story. Now, many of us, let me explain this. When the enemy attacks, let me use Jesus as an example. Take me to the scripture we started with. Eh? What scripture did we start with? Not Proverbs. Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Then we're going to read verse 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now we know this scripture is referring to spirits, because In the story of Christ, there were no princes standing there and saying, come down. Huh? And there were no princes, as far as we know, involved in crucifying him. Physical ones. So that means it's referring to the spirits that operated behind them. Now, I want you to understand the story of Christ. That when Christ was born, his birth brought God to us. Eh? But it's not directly influencing our salvation. Like the death. Okay? So the death of Christ is a direct impact on our salvation. That's why the Bible says, for this reason did Christ come, that he might die. Now, the devil and his hordes of demons knew from the very beginning of time, from the very first prophecy, Genesis 3:15, the seed of woman shall drop upon the head of a serpent, that a virgin would give birth. He knew from the very beginning. Kept on looking through history. When is this chap coming? Watch as Jeremiah speak, Isaiah speak, Hosea speak. He's saying, this guy is coming, I just don't know when. When he shows up, when Jesus shows up as a baby, as I've told you before, he shows up as a baby, we know that the devil does not know who Jesus is. Because when they escape to go to Egypt, Herod orders for the killing of the babies and thinks job done. If the devil was all-knowing, he would have pursued unto Egypt. You're getting what I'm saying? Yes. Now, all this time, the demons and the devils knew the impact of Christ's death. Okay, should I say of Christ coming? But they did not know the purpose and the plan. Now, I was telling some people that had the devil known that in killing Jesus, he was fulfilling God's plan, he would have let Jesus grow old. You guys, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Jesus would have walked on this earth. Now, let me mess you up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, what that means is that the last Adam, Jesus, when he was made a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Jesus could not just die. Now, I need you to understand. Sin exists in this body. Are you with me? It exists in the body. It comes as a result of Adam. It transferred itself into our soul and into the body. Because the spirit was tainted. When you get born again, your spirit is washed. Okay? Now, people die because of death coming from spirit into body. But a man whose spirit is not dead cannot. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Let me give you a scripture. Lord. It has come in my spirit, but let me see if I can get it. Oh Lord. Let me get it for them. Okay. John 12:32. I want to show you. To show you that Jesus could not just die. Until an appointed time. I told you if the devil was sharp, if he had known, he would have let him grow old. He would still be here. Christ would still be here. He couldn't just die. That's why when Jesus was speaking, he uses conditional words. He says, and I, if I be, not when. I get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if the devil falls into the plan, which most likely he will, he did. Then he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Give me verse 33. It says, this said, signifying what death he should. That's conditional. Should, not would. I think I'm speaking above some people's heads. No. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Christ, as long as he's on earth, could only die one way. On that cross. That's why every time they try to arrest him, passes through. They try to throw him off a cliff, passes through. Now listen. Get what I'm saying here. The enemy, do you know what? I bet people who think witch doctors, they spend a lot of time witch doctors. They spend, you go to a witch doctor, someone goes to a witch doctor, there's what? This is the person, they bring up a picture. Then the witch doctor looks into the spirit and then makes complex plans. complex plans, but in that complexity, they miss out. Because there are things that are hidden of God. And this is about your life. Because you need to understand that when the enemy plans things, he's pushing you towards purpose. I always tell the story of a friend of mine, a lady. Back those days, she got a retake on campus and cried, Rabbi, and called, what? Where is the Lord? Why does he do this to me? I went from first year, no retake, second year, no retake, third year, just that final thing. So I remember at that time, I was a little young in the spirit, and I told her, you know what? God works in mysterious ways. And that's a statement for people who really don't know. You just say God. They don't know what to say. It's true, he works in mysterious ways, but they don't know what to say. So I told her that. Now she went back for the retake. In that retake class, she found her husband. Now, I always tell people, I went for the graduation, and for the first time, I'm not a person who likes too much attention, but I asked for the mic. Is there an opportunity for me to speak? MC asked me, how long are you going to take? No, I just want to ask one question, just one. So I went, asked, I said, so, will you take back the retake? On the wedding day. Because we don't see ahead. When the enemy does his things, I'm not telling you to get retakes. There's no glory in getting retakes. But are you getting what I'm saying? That you see, even with Jesus, the plan of the enemy was to ensure that he stops the work. But in doing so, the death was that led to our resurrections. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Now, that kaboss that is in your office. I was going to say that girl that rejected you, but that won't work. You need to understand that there's a scripture. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah 10:23. Wise words spoken by Jeremiah. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, through him. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Give me the message version. I know, God, that mere mortals can't run their own lives. That men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of life. Now what he's saying here is that you don't take your own natural steps, even if it looks like you do. That's why later in Psalms, David finishes this. He says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Now the question is this, if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, who orders the steps of the unrighteous? Because this scripture says, no man makes his own decision. Okay, take me to Joshua. 24, I believe it's verse 15. Very famous scripture. It says, this is Joshua speaking. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I touch on family for just 1 minute? Yeah? I need you to understand something. That according to this scripture, there is no vacuum. You're either serving a false god or you're serving God. Huh? There's nothing like I'm a good guy. You're either serving God or you're serving a false god. Here he even gives them, he says, the gods beyond the flood. In other words, when they crossed the Red Sea, before they crossed the Red Sea, the gods of Egypt. He's saying, who you serve? And those chaps were mob. Those gods were mob. Do you know? Let me tell you a secret. According to you are complex. Many of you know yourselves. You don't know yourselves by revelation. You know yourselves by doctrine. So you read a Bible and it says, as he is, so am I. And you say, as he is, so am I. You don't know yourself by revelation. You know yourself by doctrine. And here's the issue. Is that revelation demands that when you've captured it, okay, the wisdom manifests. You are so complex. Inside you is a spirit, and as a Christian is connected to divine life. A soul, as a Christian and a man, is where your human life is connected. And your body is where sin resides. You get me? So your spirit has life, your soul has the human life, and your body is where sin resides. When a person lives, is conscious of body, lives a life conscious of body, they become a slave to sin. When a person lives a life conscious of humanity, they never go beyond the confines of human limitation. You will never run as fast as Elijah. You will never heal like Jesus did. You will not be like Stephen, just appear in one place. You're stuck within the limitations. Your logic has limited you. Then there is that divine life. Now, you're with me so far? So inside you is a spirit. But people don't know that cities, nations also have spirits. Isaiah 19, verse 3. I believe it's verse 3. The spirit of Egypt. Okay? So there's an actual spirit of Egypt. Now, important you understand what I'm saying. That you have a spirit abiding in you and also the Holy Spirit within your spirit if you're born again. If you're not born again, your spirit man is dead. According to scripture, you're walking around soul and flesh. You're a walking zombie. Dead man walking. That's what happens if you're not born again. When you get born again, but you're not awakened to spiritual life, you're asleep. You're not dead, you're asleep. The Bible says, awake or... Paul is talking to believers. So, when you get born again, your spirit enters sleep mode. Then you awaken to spiritual things, you wake up. Now, so your body has a spirit. Cities have spirits. Countries, nations have spirits. That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says that Moses, when he was heading right Egypt, he actually faced the gods, not Pharaoh. He faces the gods. And later scripture says that the spirit of Egypt, this spirit of Egypt, when it fell, that's when the people could live. Now I'm getting somewhere with this. That you see, if you've ever, some of you have traveled, you've gone outside countries. And you've traveled, say, to Paris, or... huh? Or you've gone to London, or... Yeah. All these cities that many people adore, and these countries that they adore. There's a country I went to, and I couldn't pray. And I tried to pray, and I remember I felt like there's just like an iron ceiling. Because there's an entire atmosphere that has been taken over. Now, these spirits or principalities are territorial in nature. But they can go all the way from a nation. They can have a territory over a nation all the way down to a family. Because also families have spirits. Divine or demonic. That's why in this particular scripture, now I know some of you here, you need to hear this. That scripture that we read of Joshua, he says, as for me and my family. And one time when I was teaching, I said, he doesn't stop and question the people in his family and ask them, are you born again? He says, as for me and my house, we shall serve as long as you're under my covering. You're serving God. Are you with me? Now, there is something about the authority figure in a house that determines the spirit in that house. Something about it. Sometimes if the authority figure is not there, the devil then shifts to the firstborn. I have found that there are lineages in the spirit. I had some of this stuff. You see, God kind of has done amazing things, secret things. In every family, no matter, especially in Africa and Asia, because all of us seem to be connected to some witchcraft stuff down those ends. Now. All these families in Africa and Asia, with all this connection, the way the Lord has But even these Europeans, their witchcraft is different. The witch doctor dresses in a suit and sits in an office and cameras are before him. But listen, with all this stuff, the way the Lord has done in his wisdom, he has planted what I call gems in families. They come after certain generations. All of a sudden, a prophet shows up to cut the cord. You showed up. Huh? Now, please understand that it's not just enough for you to say amen. Eh? Because I know people who come to me and say, Rabbi, I think it's my family. What? The other day someone... Eh? Do you know? I really don't want to talk about this stuff, but I'll say it briefly. That a witch doctor, to influence your family, needs a member of the family to be initiated. Otherwise, he's powerless. If the entire lineage says no, there's nothing he can do. Okay, let's leave witch doctors. Eh? So the spirits of a nation, the spirits in families, and so on and so forth. These are the hidden gems of the Lord. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all this is so that you can understand that there's a pattern and the way in which the Lord works. And you need to learn to press in. Or, if you don't know how to pray, for example, how to seek the things of the Spirit, learn to connect by wisdom to men and women who do. That means something is alive. Let me say this. Something is only alive if it's conscious. It only has life if it's conscious. Now, you can be body conscious. You can be soul conscious. You can be spirit conscious. Whatever you are conscious of is what you see. Women are conscious of their hair. That's why they will always look at the hair a guy has or another lady has. They're conscious of their shoes, so they will always look at the shoes of a person. Because what you're conscious of, you've trained yourself to be conscious of, you will see. So imagine if you trained yourself to be conscious of angels instead of demons. Do you know one night I woke up. I usually wake up around 4. 5 is when the Spirit of the Lord taps me and says, wake up. Sometimes I refuse. But at 4, I woke up and I went to drink something. So I pass through the sitting room, go to the kitchen to pick up something, and I walk into the living room and I see someone seated in the living room. Now, you're children of God, what are you fearing? So, I saw someone. Now, I don't know how to put it, but I just want you to imagine there's a TV and there's a chair facing the TV, and I'm coming from behind the chair and I see someone seated in the chair at 4 a.m. in my house with a locked door. Now, so I want you to imagine, I've just woken up. Now, when I walked into the sitting room, this thing stands up and turns to see if I've seen it. Now, for me, I've seen it, but I said, no, tonight I'm not going to be disturbed. So I walked in, I saw, I said, okay. I went, got my glass of water, drank it. All this time, this thing is watching. Because they always want to know if you can see. I said, I'm not going to waste my time. If you're in the middle of my sitting room, I'll deal with you tomorrow morning if you're still there. So, I drank my water, closed the fridge, real passed by it, and entered my bed. I waited 3 weeks before I told my wife. I knew if I told this woman, would shift the next day. Anyway, so some of you, if you had seen something like that, you'd just, who are you and what do you want? Are you for me or against me? Anyway, that's digressing. Praise the Lord. There is a hidden wisdom, a wisdom that the Lord wants you to capture. That it's usually in the confines of your call. And so you need to understand that if you're called to the realm of fashion, there is a wisdom that the Lord can bestow in your spirit that can quicken time to such an extent that what took others years to create a label, yours is just like... Okay? Let's say you're in the movie industry. Because you see, let me tell you why the Lord wants us to have money. And I explained it last week. But you see, we're now reaching a point. According to Joshua chapter 20 verse 2, God told Joshua to build cities of refuge where people would run to when things were bad. We need you guys to build cities of refuge in the last days. An entire city built by a child of God. And you say, Antichrist, that's your area. But here, this is how we operate. And in the last days, they're going to be cities of refuge. You need to decide whether you're going to be part of building one. Because, like I said, we are in red alert season, spiritually. And last week when I was teaching on the end time, someone came to me and said, man, me, I was scared the entire time. In fact, I closed my ears. I didn't want to know Jesus is coming soon. Eh? What if the rapture happens and I'm not even nigh? The Bible says love, you know, there's a reward for those who love his coming. Eh? So it's a good thing. It's not to scare you. You won't be caught unawares. It's not even scripture that a Christian will be caught unawares. It's not even scripture. As long as you're a child of God and you're in the right place, you'll know when he's coming. Actually, if you've seen visions, anyway, let me leave that. So this is why we need you to have money. This is why we need our lawyers. This is why we need our businessmen. This is why we need our own fashion people. I need someone to dress me up, yo. We need to support our own guys. That having been said, they're going to pay me for this. But who's on Maria? Maria Messenger. Huh? Huh? Hey, now the rest of you don't know what Maria Messenger is. Maria Messenger, I have to say this because it has come in as a result of the explanation that I'm giving. But Maria Messenger is an app that was built by a fellow Christian, actually in this room right now. Now you go. Maria, Malinga, Maria. So, all of us here, you have to download it. Don't ask me. Okay, let me spell it for you. M-A-R-L-I-A. And I'm going to be checking to ensure that all your names are there, spiritually. So we need to learn to support our own, because we're moving forward. And because we're moving forward, the world is not going to give us an easy ride. You need to capture these secrets. And that's why I'm telling you now, as I end, I want to emphasize, anyone here who has plans, you must understand that it's so crucial that you learn how to tap into the secrets of the Lord, especially from people who have entered them. They don't have to be pulpit preachers. Wisdom. The reason is because a time is coming when the decisions that you make will have implications years from now. And so you can't use your brain to make them because it's fallen. Decisions like marriage shouldn't be made by the brain. Decisions like which ministry should I sit under shouldn't be made by the brain. Decisions like should I shift from Uganda and go and live in wherever, they shouldn't be made by the brain. There are advantages and secrets that the Lord gives that enables you. They almost insulate you from certain things. So the extent that when others are divorcing, I'll say I'm not divorcing because the wisdom by which I made the selection was not worldly. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you have used the secret of the Spirit, and there are many, someone can come prophesy to you if they're genuine. They prophesy, say, this is your husband, this is your wife. Some people don't like that. And the Spirit often knows when you don't like it. So what he'll do, he'll use some 1 inch somewhere. I had a dream. I had a dream and Jason is your husband. You understand? Since you don't want a prophet to tell you, Then he bombards your mind, bombards it. Now, as a lady, your job is not to go out and say, "Nago Jason." Please, ladies, please. He said, "Go Jason, Jason over Dechi." No. Yours is to be still. Huh? It's Jason's job to pursue. Now, once you've used the secrets of the Spirit, amongst these is prophecy, sometimes you get wisdom from someone. When you get that wisdom, there's an insulator. That insulator means that the secret that you use to get a result insulates the result from seasons, from error, from theft, whatever. So in other words, if your business was started by the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, while other businesses are saying, "Man, profits are low," what? The truth to show that you act, God was actually involved, is you have no recession. Okay, let me explain it like this. The Bible says in John chapter 3, as I end, John chapter 3, a man comes from verse 1. Eh? John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this is very interesting because, go back, there are four introductions to this man. He's a man, he's a Pharisee, he's Nicodemus, and he's a ruler of the Jews. Four introductions. The next verse says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him." Now you say it a bit louder. Yeah. Just be on the same page. You understand? Okay. Again, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him." Oh, Tio. Actually, you should read the next verse, huh? "We know that thou art a teacher come from." Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, "for no man can do these miracles that thou doest." We're going to do miracles, eh? "Except God be with him." Now, he said that of Jesus. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5. "Jesus answered, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit." Now, this is important. Nicodemus, a man called Nicodemus, a Pharisee, meaning he has been taught for years scripture, right? Reads scripture, comes before God. Not just Jesus, God in flesh, and calls him a teacher. Come from the Lord. Jesus, knowing that the era at which this man, the level that he has come, is off. Because God is not just, imagine you've been reading scripture, but you can't recognize the same person you've been reading for years. You're standing before him and you call him a teacher from God. Yet he is God. Jesus' answer is, "Unless a man be born of the Spirit." Now, listen carefully as I conclude. When something is birthed in the Spirit, its foundation is Spirit. Now, this scripture is not just talking about you getting born again and receiving Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual principle. When you build a business and it's birthed from Spirit, its foundation is Spirit. In other words, God is involved from the very beginning. When he's involved from the very beginning, here's the spiritual law. As long as God is involved in a marriage, a relationship, a business, a job from the very beginning, when things go wrong, even if you don't know what to do, he has the right to intervene, with or without. He has the judicial right. Because he was involved from the very foundation. Unless a man be born of the Spirit. Unless something is birthed from Spirit. Okay? Then he says later, he says, "They that are led by the Spirit are like the wind. It blows, you don't know which direction." It's not enough just to be born of the Spirit. The effects after must also be spiritual. So yes, I founded you, my relationship, on Spirit. But also, the date we're going to get married, consult God. Amen. It's not just a date, yo. Amen. Do you know there's a difference between getting married in season and out of season? When a man of God comes and tells you, June, I see you married. Usually, God in his wisdom never lets you, it's unfair to let you stand on just that word. So he brings confirmations. When he brings those confirmations, you now have no excuse. Whether there is no money in June, you're getting married. I get what I'm saying. So let's say I pick out someone randomly here because I'm picking a lot of Canada. I pick someone randomly here who wants to go to Canada. Huh? No, not to visit. But if I pick someone randomly here and I say Canada and I say June, I see in the spirit June. Whether you have applied for visa, whether you have not applied for visa, whether your mom is saying no. Huh? Your spirit is to be anchored, especially if you've got confirmations, because the Bible says a thing is established by two or more. That's when they attach dates to it, especially men of maturity. Not these random people who just say, I'm seeing March. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying I'm seeing March. So if I said, Teresa is getting married in December, huh? And if, no, why are you clapping? If I said Teresa is getting married in December, okay? Whether she gets a job and goes to South Africa. Come on, Rabbi. I'm giving examples. Huh? Whether her guy goes to Sudan. Huh? The truth of the fact is this. That December comes. If they anchor upon that word, they will be married. Amen. Now, children of God, hear me carefully. When something is born of the Spirit, learn to initiate God. No days are the same. No days are the same. Especially the first day of something and the last day of something. The first day, for example, fellowship is very important. The first of anything is important because it's a sign of foundation laying. The Bible says, if the foundation is shaken, how can the righteous, or what will the righteous do? That's what the Bible says. But the principle there is that if the foundation is unshakable, the righteous always have something to do. Amen. That means the foundation must be something spirit. Right now in this place are people with various dreams. Some of those dreams are spiritual. In other words, they were given by God. Others are just wishy-washy. It's our word, wishy-washy. If you are not mature in the spirit, it's often hard for you to discern which is which. So God has put safeguards. The safeguards are this, that irrespective of your error, if you've used the right methods, hearing from God, for example, I know that right now, you can be conscious of my voice, you can be conscious of my words, you can be conscious of the spirit behind them. In this room right now, there are three different kinds of people in that area. There are people who are just hearing, wow, wow, wow. And waiting, when is this guy going to prophesy? Or maybe she's struggling with my accent. Are you struggling with my accent? No. Huh? All right? Then there are people who are capturing my word. When you're conscious of words, you're reasoning and understanding. So you're conscious of them. It takes another level to be conscious of a spirit behind it. All those are level of consciousness. The secret to spirituality, the deepest secret to spirituality, is consciousness. I'm telling you, it's actually as simple as that. Huh? So I see a good guy entering my room without my permission. Huh? I don't first say, oh my God. Are you for me or against me? The guy was black. Huh? He was a figure, dark figure, and so on and so forth. And I was thinking to myself, what was this thing doing in here? If some of you pray, you like to pray, Lord, open my eyes. The day you see. The day you see, you say, Lord, okay. Degrees, take me in degrees. Let me first see the boyfriend. Let me see those ones. But you must learn to be conscious of spirit. Actually, that's the foundation of anything that is hidden wisdom. You must be conscious of spirit. where the Lord is taking us. Just one year? No, let me leave it. One year from now. 1 year from now. I want you to look at your neighbor. If you're sitting next to someone you don't know, you say, you might not know me now. Come on, say, tell them. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means to walk into a room, eh? And you don't have to introduce yourself. And you walk in and people are whispering, oh my God. That is Sharon. Yeah. And you just... And you stand somewhere. I want you to see it in the spirit. You stand somewhere. You don't even, before you speak, you do, people are clapping. People are clapping! Do you know what it means to walk into a place and everyone is feeling, man, there's something about this. You know, my father, wherever he steps, the country knows he has come. May the same be for you in the name of Jesus. You know, see, when you walk and they say, she's a lawyer. For me, I only know one lawyer. Eh? You wait here that they just say, I only know one lawyer. Mention a name. Whereby the profession has been defined by your name. And you see here, businessmen, rich men, they mention Dangote. You mention who? Eh? You mention Bill Gates, what? But then you wait for your name. Huh? Then you sit, you know those things, you sit in a suit, you even come in casual. While others are putting on boo foo foo boo. You walk in casual, then you come and you say, well, I think. The moment you say you think, your opinion is worth millions. Worth millions. Have you ever seen a man who's wealthy and all of a sudden he might not know something about gold, but when he goes where gold is, he says, that's wrong. People will listen. That is authority. Yes. And that's where the Lord wants to take you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Start seeing yourself like that. Huh? Before you walk into the room, people have had dreams about you. What? Do you know it's a spiritual thing? Yes. That when someone grows in the spirit, especially when you sit under them, their stature, literally, it rubs off people. So even those who hate you are dreaming about you. So I don't know, I'm having dreams about this guy. That's what you call spiritual influence. Amen. That is my portion, that is yours. Amen. Do you know what it means to hire an entire plane just because you're the one traveling? Huh? And they don't argue. The president asks, who's that who's hiring a plane? They just mention your name. He says, okay. Praise the living God. I bet you guys don't know I'm prophesying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To be called by one name. If they can mention Oprah, no one says which one. Huh? No one mentions which one, which Oprah. No. Now, may your name be the same. Eh? Now, you can't do Daniel. That one is already taken. So if you're Daniel here, look for something else. But there's only one Teresa. Huh? Praise the Lord. There's only one Marianne. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Now, the place where you're in a fellowship, you shout behind, amen, everyone asks, who's that? But now you even sit behind, but you're loud. You're quiet, but loud. You understand? You're not shouting amen anymore. Marianne, say amen. You just sit behind like that, but there's a loudness. There's a loudness about you. They go, oh, no, walabadechi. You say, I haven't said anything. You're just feeling my essence. Do you know what it means to walk into a room and there's a beauty that is beyond physical? Amen. Just what? I believe in miracles. You're walking in and they're just like, oh my God. Someone walks up to you and asks, what fume is that you're putting on? You say, no, I haven't put a fume, it's just me. I haven't put a fume, it's just me. Eh? That's how I smell, yo. Praise the Lord. You will not be broke for long. Actually, we decree and declare that your pockets are full. In the name of Jesus Christ. That you shall travel nations in the name of Jesus. That wherever your feet shall step, you shall be felt in the name of Jesus.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.